It's November 30th, 1998, and I'm interviewing Arlene Nelson at the Afognak Native Corporation offices in Kodiak. During the interview, Arlene, don't feel like you have to answer any certain questions. Anything you want to pass on, that's fine.
Okay.
To begin with, I'd just like to get some baseline information. So,
okay, sure.
When and where were you born?
Okay, I was born in Karluk, Alaska, in 1947.
And who were your parents?
Lloyd and Margaret Garner.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
9 of them.
Wow. Can you name all 9?
Oh, yes. Benny. You want their last name? Just...
Sure.
Okay. Benny Lakeen. Charlene Kewen. Arnold Garner. Darlene Gunderson, Willis Garner, Margaret Nelson, Marlene Gunderson, Randy Garner, and Sally Burgess.
How long did you live in Afognak?
Well, we left Karluk when I was 4 years old, so I don't really know Karluk. And I lived there for all my life, actually, in Afognak.
So were your parents from Karluk, or did they move there from Afognak?
My mother was born in across the mainland in where Larry Elanac and Katie Elanac, the Muzinki, were. Kinetic Lagoon. And she moved to Karluk. My father, my dad is from Black Hills, North Dakota. So he came up to Alaska through Del Valley in the sawmill where he used to live outside of Afognak. Del Valley brought him up to work in logging for him. He met my mom and they were married. So he's not from Alaska.
Do you know when your mother came from Kinetic to Karluk?
No, I don't.
What are your earliest memories of Afognak?
Earliest memories. Well, before Afognak, actually, we moved from Karluk to the sawmill before we moved into the village of Afognak, because my dad was working at the sawmill there for Del Valley. But was living in the sawmill in tree-cutting, lumber-producing a camp is actually what I remember of first living in Afognak. Then we moved into the village, and when most of us started going to school, so we moved to Afognak.
What's the most pleasant thing you can remember about living there?
Probably compared to life now, and I see it in the children my age when we did move to Afognak, was the peacefulness of growing up in a place with no electricity, no toilets, running toilets, no anything like that. My kids nowadays can't believe I lived like that, but I wish they had the opportunity to do so. To them, it's camping now.
Can you describe how the village was laid out and where you lived?
Oh, yeah. When we first moved to Fogneck, I remember going in on a dory with a small, probably like a nine-horse kicker, they used to call them. That was, I guess, a big thing in my dad's day, in those days. But pulling up to the beach and moving into the house that we first got was close by the Orthodox church over there. So actually it was in the middle of the village. So we were like more towards Aleutown. And we lived there for a few years. And after our dad parted, my mom and us, we moved down to... And when we were growing up in a Fognet, we never separated the two names that I guess you'd call Russian Town and Aleutown. We never called it Russian Town. It was just a Fognet, but Aleutown had its specific name. Everybody called it Aleutown. Hmm. And but the other side of town, it was just a Fognet to us kids. Maybe before me it was called Russian Town, but I never grew up calling it that.
Could you determine any difference in people who lived on either side of the village?
Not at all. Not in my day, no. Mm-hmm. No.
So you didn't sense that there was any friction or...
Not at all, no. Mm-mm.
How about in general, in the entire village, did you think that people got along well?
I really did. I think they got along great. They did things like, well, this time of the year, Christmas time was a close time for village people. They, you know, everybody got together to school and had Christmas programs, and it just wasn't a certain group of people. It was everybody. And I'd like to hear the stories of maybe before my time when they didn't. I guess supposedly they didn't.
So you went to school in
mm-hmm.
Fogneck.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when you started?
Yes, I do.
Remember who any of your teachers were?
When I think back, and if I... yes, I do. We had... right now I'm going blank on remembering them, but I usually can remember all my teachers. Jack Lane, in fact, He was one of my first teachers over there. And Robert and Carol Burrell, they were there when, maybe that was my first grade. They were the first teachers over there that I knew. And Mrs. Tyne, she was a single teacher, was my fourth or fifth grade. And in those days, we had like first to fourth or fifth in one classroom. There was only three rooms in the whole school, but classes were small. And I remember my school days as being quite fun, especially when the school got a movie projector and used to have movies every Friday night for the whole village. That was big time, really.
Can you remember any of the movies?
A lot of them were Western films. In fact, the majority of them were, you know, it was people like, you know, Roy Rogers and those, you know. But when that was a big thing in the village of Fogneck, was when the school got a movie projector.
How important was the church to village life?
Very much. In fact, my sister and I were talking about it the other day. We didn't have much money, but for every holiday, mainly the holidays were Easter and Christmas, even if there was six of us girls in our family, four boys, each holiday we ran around in black patent shoes and a fluffy dress. You know, that was for the Christmas holidays and our special Christmas program at school. And we were very proud of every piece of clothing we got then. But we were dressed to the hilt on holidays. And we really do remember that.
Was there a priest stationed there when you were growing up?
No. Oh, but they came. One came on a holiday.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of the older people talk particularly about Father Gerasim, which was quite a few years before your time.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I'd recognize that name right away.
Mm-hmm. What is the most difficult thing you remember about living there?
Difficult? I really wouldn't describe it as difficult, because it was a way of life. And even coming into Kodiak on a boat or a plane wasn't often, but we did, and even that wasn't difficult. I don't really think I had a difficult life.
So, you came to Kodiak, did you travel to other villages at all?
No. My grandparents lived in Yuzinki, so I went there a lot in the summers. But no, there was no traveling to other villages. In fact, I've lived here all my life. I've never been to Old Harbor. Or Akiak, or...
Can you describe the stores in the village?
Enola Mullen, her store, you know, didn't have a name. But it was just always Enola's. That was the store. And actually, there it goes again with our date and time. She had a good store, stocked with stuff that village people used then, and then people didn't buy store bread. Homemade bread was always made, and that's the kind of stuff that was stocked into stores, with dry goods and flour, stuff in that area. We'd know an Enola would get freight in, whether it be a boat or an airplane. We lived close to the store, and we grew up with homemade bread, and when we knew Enola got freight in, we would beg our mom to please buy a loaf of store bread. Can't believe we used to do that. A loaf of store bread to us was just fantastic. But it was stocked with stuff like that, and then I do remember when she started getting in stuff in the line of home house things, like blankets, towels in that area. And that I do remember that. It was a big thing, because her store was expanded one room out for stuff like that. It was big.
Was that the only store there when you were growing up?
That was the only store there when I was growing up.
Were you living in a Fognak at the time of the 1964 tidal wave and earthquake?
Mm. Yes, I was, but I wasn't there at the time. I was going to school in Chemung, Oregon then. I went to school that year, so I wasn't there for the earthquake. That's a big part of my life I remember. and I actually, it was sort of a sad part in my life for a few days there that I'll always remember. Because down in Oregon, Kodiak Island was sunk, so we didn't have no more families. I had a brother then who was going, he was in Fort Gordon, Georgia. He was in the Army. And for 2 days, him and I were phoning each other. People off of Kodiak Island here really couldn't get out till it was through, otherwise through the Red Cross. My mom and them from Fogneck were moved to Fort Wakefield. So she and my Uncle Al Lakeen got a hold of us through the Red Cross, and this was only 3 days after the earthquake. So during these other days, we were let out of school and just sat in the living room by this TV and radio waiting for news from Alaska. And finally, I was one of the lucky students that got news from here through the Red Cross that my family was all okay. But for 2 days, knowing that you had nobody was quite devastating.
What was health care like in the village when you were growing up?
The island nurse, I remember her being called, used to come around to the villages, and then that's this boat. There's a boat that used to come in, and they used to anchor out now, when I think of it, where Digafognak is. A big white health boat. I used to know the name of it, too. I can't think of it right now. But we used to all be taken out there in classes from the school. Each class was taken out. And our dental and eyes and stuff like that were done. It used to be a big day in school, I guess. I don't know if it was just because we got that day off. Or
but you went out to the boat?
Yes. Each class was taken out in these big skiffs. Yeah, we were all taken out.
So was the boat like a floating clinic?
Yes. It actually was.
What would happen if someone got sick or injured? Was there anyone around to take care of immediate problems?
Yeah, there was. In my time, it was Betty Nelson. She was the designated health nurse then in the village.
So I guess by your time, they were able to have people medevac.
Oh yeah, it was Coast Guard. Bob Hall was the airline here when I was in Fogneck.
When you lived there, were babies being delivered in the
yes.
village? Was that done also by Betty Nelson?
Yes, there was Betty Nelson and an older woman called Olga McCormick, Annie Boskoski.
What do you remember about how the village was governed? Who was in charge and who were the leaders?
My memory then of that was that they always used to have meetings in the school building in one of the classrooms. And then I remember Willis Nelson. In my day then, Ralph Demidoff was, I remember him being an elder man, but he was at those meetings, Johnny Larson. Billy Anderson. Yeah, I do remember them at meetings in the schoolrooms.
So was there a village chief or someone who was in charge?
Then I remember it being Willis Nelson.
Do you remember anyone over the period of your childhood who stood out as a really strong or effective leader?
I'd think of that as my dad, I guess.
Mm-hmm. What would happen if someone broke a law or broke the rules of the village? How would they be dealt with?
Then, my day was, we had state troopers then too. Mm-hmm. So they were called in by radio. Nettie Ellison and Oscar Ellison, they were the people in town who had the radio hookup with Bob Hall, Bill Harvey, and you know them in here. That was our contact to the city of Kodiak, to Fog Neck.
Is there anything I didn't ask you that you have a good answer you would like to share?
Not from the village of Fog Neck, but just from hearing. I do remember hearing a lot of stories of holidays from my grandma, my mother, and my dad. My mom used to say that my dad, even though he was Caucasian, he was sometimes more of an Aleut than she was, because he took to the Aleut ways so much. And I never do forget the stories of the devil dances they say they used to have in Karluk. And I vaguely do remember one night, Manny and Charlene are older than I am, and our mom and dad were gone, and that they were at one of these dances. And Charlene remembers exactly that night more than I do, but she, when she tells it to this day, it brings memories to me of when I was there that night, and I vaguely remember how Benny and Charlene were sort of frightened to babysit because of what was going on in the city hall, and we lived not too far from it, and it was a devil dance. And the stories that went along with Christmas times of people going into banyas and learning how to play guitar with a rooster, or sometimes if I sit and with members of my family or and Al Lukin, we sit and talk about these old stories that we were told, and I do remember them right now. I would have a dandy to tell you, I think, if I had more time to remember them, but I've tried to tell these to my kids, and they're like, "You mean you guys were told only scary stories?" You know? But now that I think about it, I don't think they were. But I, do you have stories like that you've collected from people? You must have.
Not many
from
yet.
Clyda?
Yeah, I haven't actually interviewed Clyda yet. Read her.
About the devil dances they used to have and stuff. Mm-hmm. Actually, a Fog Neck, when I was growing up there, actually pretty small, people told stories like that. Everybody did. And especially when the holidays came, these stories were almost heard every evening in the homes. They were told, like my mother would tell them of her mother and her great-grandmother, probably being that we didn't have radios. Then when we got radios, these stories were still told. I have forgotten a lot of them, I know I have. But those things will stick in my mind. I think they always will.
Did Fog Neck ever have television?
No. Mm-mm. That was one of my things about going to school. We knew about television and stuff. It was here in Kodiak. Fognak never had it, though. But when I left Fognak to go to Oregon, it was... Now I look back, I was old. Or, you know, I was 14. And I went into... Well, in Fognak, we did have a light plant eventually, so we had electricity. But no flushing toilets. So living in the big city in Oregon, I lived with flushing toilets and electricity all the time. And it was actually a different time in my life for me. Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't think of anything else unless you can think of anything else you want to share.
No. No, no. Thank you, though.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Mm-hmm.